kind of source, household source you had to be when you were living in the bounty? You said you worked in the field.
Well, now, Steve was very, if he had more work for me to do outside, she didn't ask me to do much inside. Oh, well, I set the table and these minor things, you know. But she never, she was always very good to me. And, but as far as, and I went to school, I had to walk about 2-3 miles to school, in the country school, you know. But, no, she never, and she was a beautiful seamstress, and she tried to teach me, but she was, as I say, she had never had any children. She didn't know how to handle a child. And if I wanted to do something, it was impossible to do. So I didn't learn much in the line of sewing. But after I got married, my husband bought me an old second-hand sewing machine for $10. And I learned to sew. But as far as living with them was, it was... it was very, and they didn't legally adopt me, but the state said later on, after I had lived with them, I think, well, until I was 21, about a baby, they considered me legally adopted. But they didn't have much property, so whatever it was, I got some from her, but there was no money, no nothing. I was just, oh, just some quilts. And I think, yeah, I got a little rocking chair that her. He was her grandfather, her great-grandfather made some bamboo. I have it up in the attic, yeah.
What kind of contact did you have with your grandfather and your father and your brothers and sisters?
None. I never saw my grandfather again after I left there. I never saw him, and I never saw this uncle until we came to California in 42. And I never heard from him. I did hear from my brother. I got a picture of my grandfather.
What about your sister? You could get it.
I never saw her. I never laid eyes on her from the time she when she was when the funeral after the funeral, my grandfather took us, my brother and I with him, and we went back to Kansas and started the rigmarole of going back and forth. In the covered wagon.
Okay, where would you wonder when she died then?
La Junta, Colorado, on that picture, La Junta, Colorado. That's where she died, and that's where she was buried. And that's where her father, my stepfather, on my mother's side, she stayed there with him and, I think it was his sister or somebody raised her, anyhow, and she went, she went to school and graduated from nursing school there in La Junta. And at one time, and how she got my address or what is, I don't know that. But at one time, we got in touch with one another or somehow, and she sent me a picture of herself with her nurse's cap on. Now, I've got that in something around here. Now, that's me in my nurse's uniform. This was our home back in Kansas, my husband and I, the last home we lived in. And this is the old lady that took care of me, my wedding breakfast, and my children for years. That's the one I'm home for. That's my grandfather. And that dog, I didn't know that dog. That came later in life, I didn't know. But I never saw him again. And here's a picture of Grandpa. I mean, I'm 16 years old.
This is Mr. LeBounty?
Yeah. And then, of course, after I got married, why, that's another story.
Let's take that for a little while. And what kinds of things would you do as a child in your spare time?
Well, my mother, this foster mother, didn't believe in a girl sitting around with idle fingers doing nothing. So on days that we didn't have to work or have things to do, Grandpa and I, of rainy days or bad days, you know, Grandpa and I would play dominoes or checkers. And I could never beat him. And he wouldn't let me beat him. I got very frustrated. But my mother had me embroider. So to start out with, I had to hem tea towels. And I didn't get why L.A. was sloppy work.
Have you done that before you went?
No, I didn't know how to hold a needle. But I had, and I had to learn to sew with a thimble also. So they had flour sacks to make tea towels. And she'd show me how. So I had to baste them first. And then I had to, you know, if it didn't look suit her, I had to take it out and do it over again. I learned to hem fairly decently. By the time I was 13, around 13 years old, I could hem by, you know, very good, and I'd hem seats. But if it didn't look good, it had to come out. Then she tried to teach me to crochet. But as I could tell you, she was around 50 or so when I went to live with them, because as the days went on, she got older. And she just didn't know how to teach a child. And in other words, we're crossed. I don't know how to explain that one either, except that she didn't have patience. Now me, I've got the patience of Job with my kids because that was what I went through. But I'll say one thing, I learned. She tried to teach me to crochet. And this is funny, you want to know about that too? And I was somewhere around between 12 and 13, and it was a rainy day. And she finally got so exasperated, she said, "Oh, you're so dumb, you'll never learn nothing." Well, I'm kind of sensitive. I don't like to be dumb. So my stepfather had what they called an old Morris chair. I don't know what the old Morris chair is.
No.
Well, it had floral velvet covered seat back and the cushion. And it was a big armchair, but you know that. And I turned around in that big armchair and turned my back on her, you know, my feet up like this. And I sat there the rest of the afternoon pulling this crocheting. By the time she says, "Let's go fix dinner," I could crochet circles around her. And before the end of the week, I could read every pattern that was out. She couldn't read patterns. But I learned to crochet. That's because she said I was dumb. Then I had a girlfriend in school along about the same time, and she could tot.
Now, what is tatting?
Well, you don't know what tatting is?
Yeah, let me show you.
You have to turn it off? And we learn at school and recess, or if she come over on a Saturday, and you use a shuttle. Now this, I made out of 100 sewing thread. That's off of my wedding handkerchief.
Now it looks like lace.
It is, it's lace. But that's off of my wedding handkerchief, but the linen, you saw all the pieces, you know, after so many years. But this is tatting. Now of course that's crocheting. But this is just little pieces of tatting I had left over from something. But anyhow, I learned to do that, and I learned that. But like I said, my mother didn't believe in girls not learning to do something. And when it comes to making bread, are you on me?
Yes.
When it comes to making bread, I didn't have to do it, but she'd always say, "Now, if you'll do so-and-so, you know," she was very kind about it and all. And I would help make the bread, mix, you have to knead it and let it raise and all that, you know. So I learned to do that. And then when she canned, I learned to can. I still can. I'm 82 years old and I still can. And make jelly and all that stuff. I love to do it. But she was very good to me. And as far as, I don't know what else to tell you about it.
Was she involved at all outside the home?
No. 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 She was a Protestant. My foster father was Catholic. In my early, when I was real little, my grandfather and my parents, I go back to that much, they were Catholic. And I suppose that sometime when I was baptized Catholic. I don't know this. I don't know. But I assume that I was because they were Catholic. And, but I leaned toward the Catholic Church with my stepfather, my foster father. But I would go with her. But when I got married, I married a Catholic, and I joined the Catholic Church. And I told priests this all, that they baptized me a little. After you once baptized, you're never supposed to baptize again. But it didn't matter long if I had been baptized Catholic. This was freshman year. It's like I said, when I married my husband, I saw the division. She was Protestant, he was Catholic. She go one way, he went the other. I didn't want that in my life. I wanted to be together, and that we raised our children that way. I raised three my fine children. Now, what?
Your foster parents, did they ever talk about politics?
He did. My foster father was a very adamant Democrat, and I can remember some of the arguments and things I get into, but I never like to argue that. My nature is I do not like fussing, quarreling, meanness, to discuss religion and to discuss politics are really against my principles. I guess that's the word for it. I know now we girls, if we want to talk, but when somebody gets a little bit one-sided, then I'm through with it. I have always, all my lifetime, now before they changed in the Catholic Church where they recognized Protestants, it used to be almost a sin for Protestants to step inside of a Catholic to step inside of a Protestant church. Today they embrace each other, which is right. And I always said it all my lifetime, there's only one God, what difference does it make? How you worshiping? That was my theory. But my stepmother, you're supposed to be. That's when the argument stopped because I didn't have any part of the argument with it. But he was good to her when the money come and when she was ready to go to church or something. He laid whatever money she wanted to take for her church. That was it. And there wasn't too much argument in the family about it, but once in a while I'd get into it, but I got out. So I don't know what this was. And I one thing, my husband and I, we had very few arguments. But eventually, we get pretty rough, you know, but then you stop and think, you know what? It has to be two ways. I mean, I couldn't be always right. He couldn't always be right. But we might go 2-3 days without getting it straightened out. But eventually, in our days, we never thought, well, you're getting married, you're going to get a divorce. We never thought of such a thing. You had to straighten it out because you had to live together. We're supposed to be no divorces, nice, you know. Firstly, I guess there are times it's necessary, but nowadays they look cross-eyed at each other, they don't get divorced.
Do you remember your foster mother or yourself ever hearing or about the suffrage movement or being involved at all?
Yeah, we knew about it and all of that because my foster mother couldn't vote. See, that was before that ever happened. And when did that come into
1920.
1920, well, see, that was about the time I got married in 1918, and that happened after I was married. But I know, I've heard her many times say when he'd go to vote, she didn't understand why she couldn't go vote too, you know, but it was coming, and it did, it came. But they had no argument about it. I mean, if she wanted to, it was her privilege, but she couldn't see because of the law. But he had no objection. He was very kind. But no, and my husband, he whatever went, you know, he didn't object either. In fact, he was for it. He thought he didn't think it was right that women were not allowed to vote. That was stupid, wasn't it? Mm-hmm. But it's like now, the thing they've got going now about the women being equal. I never felt unequal. I always... We lived 50-50. He was the head of the household, that. But he wasn't, he didn't, what do you say this, he didn't crow, you know, over me or anything like that. We were equal. And yeah. And many times I'd say we should have so-and-so. Well, if you want it, go get it. Well, don't you want to go and do what? No, if it's what you want, you get it. But then it'll come time to buy a car. I said, well, I think you should have something to say. Well, then he would have you say there. But as a rule, whatever I wanted, he'd go along with it. So there never was anything like that, you know. For my part, I think that what they're going through is always stupid. But I will tell you, well, you don't want to get into that, you know.
We'll talk about that in the
last. Yeah, because I was perturbed about some of that, too.
Let's go back and talk about when you were young and who your friends were.
Well, I always had a circle of friends, just like now. I always had a circle of friends. I go and visit this little book. And you saw these four girls. We were neighbors. Now, this girl was my foster mother's sister's grandchild, and we were very close. But these two girls lived very close neighbors in the farm, and we were absolutely just almost inseparable. And this little girl lived up on the hill, and this one lived a little bit farther away from her. And I got their names there because I couldn't, after a while, you don't remember them, you know.
Did you ever keep in contact with any of your friends from the orphan home?
No, because we were all too little. We were all too young. I have so many, many times, and I'll tell you truthfully, outside of the superintendent's daughter and those two colored girls, those are the only two I would have had any... I did go back there since I was married and tried to find out, but they closed the home. They don't have it anymore. See, that was supposed to have been old soldiers' children, but there weren't many old soldiers, so they just took other children, you know. And I can remember one thing that happened while I was at the Austin home, that you remember Hallie's Comet?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. They would take groups of us. They would have supervisors along, maybe two supervisors for each group or whoever it be, and they'd have a group of girls, older girls, a group of younger girls, and then they'd have groups of boys, and we'd all take this long walk somewhere out on the road. There wasn't no cars and stuff in those days, to see how it's coming. I remember that just like it was yesterday. That was back in, what, about 19... I don't remember when Hallie's Comet. I'll tell you something if you could get that. Hallie's Comet.
What was that like for you?
Unreal. I couldn't figure the world being so big. Now, to me, they talk about the ocean. How could it be an ocean? I couldn't see any farther. You know, we couldn't see any farther than the head of our noses. You know, we lost the wind.
What kinds of things did you do with your girlfriend?
These three here, we were too young to much anything. We just, this one here, that's her little dog, and then, of course, I had my big dog. And you see this river here?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Our farm was up on a hill. Then we had these long steps that went down, and then there was the road. Then the bank went down, and that's the Missouri River out in front of us. And see, we would go down along the Missouri River, and we'd in the rocks and the stuff along there, you know. Some of these are so old and faded, and I've taken out some of them. But we would, that was my dog, and that's one of my boyfriends. And this was down along the river, see, right out from our place. And that's the Missouri River. And that's the things we do. We go.
Were there ever things that you weren't allowed to do because you were a girl?
No, that was offhand. Now, my foster mother had a horse, an ex-race horse. We lived out on the strawberry farm, and she had a horse, the buggy, to go with it, and she would drive. We'd go to town in this buggy. I don't have a family. And they would let me drive the buggy, horse and buggy some, you know. And then we would, then my foster father bought me a set of sleigh bells. They were the most beautiful things, obviously, I never got rid of them. So put around the horse's neck. And then he had runners put on the buggy. So I had the horse and sleigh with this bells around this horse, and I go up there, and I pick up they let me take the horse, but I pick up these girls in the bad weather, the snow, and they'd be so crispy, and my mother would fix. We had an old soapstone griddle. Well, you know what a soapstone griddle is. A lot of people use bricks.
Mm-hmm.
But she would heat this soapstone griddle and wrap it and put it in the bottom of the buggy, and we'd set our feet on it. And we'd take off with this horse and buggy. And then when the river froze over, we'd go out and sleigh bell ride on the river. But I don't know of anything we were restricted to living out on a little farm, you know. Of course, then later on, as I got older, they'd have square dances around the neighborhood, and we were allowed to go to those. And this girl here and I were the same age. She lived right close by us, and we were together an awful lot, but there was a big family of them, and at that time I wasn't Catholic, and they were.
Mm-hmm.
This boy was her, some relative of mine, and we wanted to get married. We were too young, but her folks, or his sister, objected, because I wasn't Catholic, and they were all Catholic, and so I never married him.
How old were you then?
16, 17 years old. Oh, but I was so heartbroken. Yeah, yeah. Good thing it did, because he didn't turn out to be, you know. I had a girlfriend. She lived down around they had that earthquake there a while back. I don't know. Anyhow, she married him. She just told me many times she decided to marry him because she didn't have as much heartache as she had. that's him again.
Did you leave it all when
look how I wore my hair. I bring way up high, and I wish I could do it today, but I can't. The color of the psyche knot. You know, that stands up.
On top of your
hair.
Beautiful.
But I always had long hair. Yeah, I could sit on it.
Beautiful.
I could sit on it. And I don't know, I was about 14, 15. And then I got it pulled down somehow now. But we always had long hair.
Did you read very much as a child?
Oh, yes. We had, in the town of Orfina, we lived about a mile and a half out of town, down below the long Missouri River. They had a little library in the hall. They called it Library Hall. They had dances, and I don't know all they'd have, and things in there, but they had this. There wasn't very lot of books, but I can remember going down and getting books, you know. Oh, yeah, I think I almost memorized Little Women and Black Beauty. And then I liked the detective stories. I read, what's the one? Rip Van Winkle. What's that one? Anyway. I can't go back, Ollie, we had lots of expensive books, but I don't remember what all of it. But one of the things that I read the same grade, I think I read every book the same grade that we could lay our hands on, you know. But, and I wasn't restricted for what I could read. I mean, whatever I brought home to read it, foster mother would look at. What do you want? My memory's not so good. That's me and my teacher. Her name was Josie. No? Yeah, Josie Linden. And I'm all dressed up with a black caracol fur coat and hat.
What was school like?
Well, I went to a little country school. One great big room with a big pot-belly stove for heat. We had colored children. And at recess, we went out and played ball with the boy, I was a tomboy. And I didn't know there was any difference between colored people. I was the dark, but I didn't pay mind till. We all played together. And there was two boys. One was Aaron. The girl's name was Geraldine. I always get a kick out of Wilson from Geraldine, because I went to school with a girl named Geraldine. I didn't know any different. We just played together, and we'd play ring around the rosy or drop the handkerchief and all, everybody, you know. We had this one teacher, and she had all grades from first grade. We didn't have any under first grade. We had first grade up to the eighth grade. And up in the eighth grade, or whoever was through with their lessons, you know, could go down and help the little first graders. And many of the time I've gone down and read to the little first graders or help them with something, you know, because some subjects I was good in and some subjects I was bad in. Geography now was my worst subject of all, because I could not picture the world being like it is. I could not. Even looking at the map or looking at it, just a piece of paper, I could not picture the world being so big. My little world was all, you know, just that little world. I didn't know. But I made good grades in school of arithmetic and what we called grammar in those days were two of my very good subjects. But the folks, when they didn't have the country school out there, there was a couple of years they didn't teach out there. This woman got married, and then they didn't have a teacher, so the kids all were going into town to school. And they made the mistake of letting me skip a grade because I was so good at the other, and I missed, I think it was the fourth grade. I would never recommend that any child ever miss the fourth grade. For instance, I missed fractions. I can't do fractions to this day. And I forget some other things that was in arithmetic that I should have had. And, of course, geography didn't matter what I missed in interest. And a lot of the stuff in history. I wasn't good at history because I couldn't feature it. As a little kid, I couldn't feature men going out with guns and shooting each other. I just couldn't, as a little kid, I couldn't feature it. So a lot of that stuff I read in history didn't impress me.
Now, was this country school where you went when you were living with your grandfather?
No, my foster parents.
Your foster parents.
I was around 1913, 1914,
What was schooling like before you went to live with them? You said there was school at the...
They had school at the orphanage.
That's
when I said I had this teacher. Her name was Miss Blue, and she had the high... They've got a name for that. I know it now, but I can't think of it. We had a little neighbor girl who had it. It was named after a doctor. They know what to do for it now. They can teach you some. But they put braces, you know, to let your legs stretch or something like that. But school was... But now school, when I was... Before I went to the orphanage, I didn't get much schooling. I went to this when my foster mother stole me. I mean, my stepmother stole me out there. I went to a country school.